Good morning. We are so glad that you are all here, and we were excited to welcome the new students, all 400 and I believe one of you, earlier this week, or last week I should say, but we're glad that the rest of you have come. We're glad to see the freshmen in the balcony. It's a great, the zealous class, welcome. You'll want to work on being a little more zealous as it goes on. I told your parents when they were here Thursday night that the purpose of the college is not just to help you get a job. I had several of them come to me later and said, no, that is exactly the purpose of... Most of them were art major parents. But the purpose of college is not just to get a job, but rather it really is to discover a vocation. It is to identify a field of study in which to serve Christ as Lord. Many of you are familiar with the writer Frederick Buechner. He just has a tremendous way of putting things. And he says that vocation happens when our deep gladness meets the world's deep needs. And while you're here in college, your vocation will unfold. Your calling will unfold, just as your major will unfold. And it may change. If you are an undecided major, you are among the top three majors here at Asbury College. But your calling will unfold and it will change, and it won't be just as a mere response to the problems of the world, but it will be an invitation to the possibilities. Thomas Cahill said that Jesus went around not so much teaching as much as he did go around issuing invitations, his most famous one being, "Come unto me." There are a couple things that will happen here, and the primary people who will help you do that are your faculty. We have put a program in your seat, and what we'd like you to do, not right now, and certainly not while Dr. Gray is speaking, but we have some faculty academic achievements at the back of your program. It is not exhaustive. It's exhausting when you look at some of them. But this is just some of the activities, the academic, the scholarship, and the research activities that your faculty have been involved in over the course of just this last year to make sure that their minds are sharp and trained and able to do their job. Part of their job is to integrate faith and learning. Here at Asbury College, we call that academic excellence and spiritual vitality. But as part of discipleship, we believe that the training of the Christian mind is at the very essence of discipleship. We also believe in the inspiration of our faith and learning, and we get that from Jesus. And we will love Jesus when you're presently in our classroom, but when you're not in our classroom. We will love Jesus when your parents are here and when they are not here. And lastly, we believe in the incarnation of our faith and learning, and really that incarnation is our faith in Jesus Christ. We hope to anchor you in a Christian worldview. We hope to anchor you in Scripture. We hope to anchor you in Christianity so strongly that you'll be able to go anywhere in this world and help transform it for the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God. The people who will be helping you do that in the classroom, in advising sessions, outside the classroom, are your faculty. And I'd like them to stand, and would you please recognize the faculty of Asbury College. Dr. Gray and I started our journey together here last year. She just had a 17-year head start on me. Dr. Gray has been a member of our faculty for 16 years and formerly served as the chair of the Department of Business and Economics. And then about a year or so, 2 years ago, she was asked to be provost. During that time, we had an interim president, Dr. William Crothers, and part of his job was to help conduct a national search for president. During that year, they found that the best candidate for the job was next door to his office in the provost's office. And Dr. Sandra Gray became the 17th president of Asbury College last year. She is largely known as a student's president. And I can tell you from multiple meetings, not only in cabinet, but one-to-one in her office and in her home, that the heartbeat of what she wants to see happen here relates to you. She wants to meet your needs. She wants to serve the students. We know that part of the reason we exist is to meet the students' needs, to challenge them academically, but we value your presence here, and your president values your presence here. So would you please welcome the 17th president and our president of Asbury College, Dr. Sandra Gray.
Thank you so much, and it is a great privilege for me to be here to welcome you. We have missed you being on campus, and it is just really thrilling to look out across your faces and to look up and down the rows and in the balconies and see all of you that are here. And it gives us great joy to be able to welcome you. I, too, am welcoming the Zealous class, the class of 2012. Seems like a long way off, but it's only 4 years. The Fearless class, our sophomores, the Unashamed juniors, and the Consecrated seniors. I've not been in a chemistry lab for a long time, but I'm wondering, Dr. Stahl, what happens when you mix over 1,400 zealous, fearless, unashamed, consecrated students? I just say to the faculty, we probably look out. Certainly action and engagement, and you're ready to do battle. Thank goodness for the consecrated seniors. You're the ones that are the holy, sanctified, going to hold all of us together. President Eisenhower said, history does not entrust the care of freedom, and I would add academic freedom and freedom of faith. History does not entrust the care of freedom to the weak or timid. Well, weakness and timidity will not characterize this student body. Today's a celebration. Each fall, in celebration of the start of a new academic year, the college holds its annual academic convocation. And we do this to welcome our students back and also to honor our faculty and staff. There's a formal procession of the faculty, as you observed today, in academic attire. And we will have a program that recognizes the faculty activities. And you will see that later as you look at your program, recognizing the scholarship and the contributions of faculty to their respective disciplines. And although all the activities of the faculty are not listed, as Dr. Kalaga mentioned, the program does include some examples of excellence in teaching, research, and service by your faculty. Like many other academic traditions, the wearing of the distinctive regalia began in England, and it began in the second half of the 14th century, so this is an old tradition. The statutes of some of the colleges required the wearing of the long gown by faculty and students. And over time, the distinctive colors were adopted. If you were able to see, as we were walking in, there are wonderful colors on the back of our hood and back of our gown. And they each represent a discipline, and they distinguish each one of us from our colleagues. For example, when you see red on the hood, that stands for theology. When you see pink, that's music. Brown is fine arts. Dark blue is philosophy. Light blue is education. And so these are traditions, and customs and traditions are important to us. We will not be marching in regalia every chapel, but it is important for us to honor this occasionally. And for those of us that are really sweating and fanning in these hot gowns, we'll be very glad we don't do this every chapel. But our customs do help define us and remind us of who we are as Americans. And we do this, of course, in our Christian faith. Out of our Christian Judeo faith, we celebrate Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving. And we have certain traditions that are there, too. So this is why we are here today in celebrating through what we call academic convocation. This is a year of hope. Actually, every year is a hope, but we want to focus on it particularly. I've been talking about having a vision of hope. And there are many wonderful scriptures that the Lord has given us in both the Old and New Testaments that speak to hope. I want to share just one today, but I also want to encourage you that you need to begin this academic year with a vision of hope. For you freshmen who are just entering a new life and a new adventure here at Asbury, it is important that you have a vision of hope, a hope in the unseen. And for you seniors, you certainly are thinking to not only this year, but what is coming at the end of this academic year. And so it would be useful and profitable for you during the year to continue to be returning to God's word and allowing him to speak to you words of encouragement and hope. The one I will share today is out of Psalm 62, which begins at verse 5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend upon God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times. O people, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. If we had only this one passage of hope, would that not be enough to assure us of God's great providence and presence and enablement among us? Well, students, you have many questions, and they are ranging from questions particularly for those in your freshman or sophomore year, perhaps. What will my major be? Will I be a successful college student? Will God show me his will? And seniors, you certainly are thinking about the job. Seniors will often ask, what have I learned in these 4 years? Have I learned enough to be sought out by prospective employers? Well, yes, you have. Many of the answers to our questions will remain unknown as we walk through this year. But yet we do have a vision of hope. We know the one that goes ahead of us. And I, too, embrace this year with the uncertainty that is before us as an institution. But I come today with an unreserved passion about the possibilities that are ahead for you individually and for Asbury College. Some of you have heard me say previously, and I'm going to continue saying this, that your future, our future, is as bright as the promises of God. We think we are headed for the future. I read something recently in a book, The Present Future, by Reggie McNeil. He says, we think we're headed for the future, but really the future is headed toward us. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. The current literature suggests that China and India are the countries to watch for future economic influence. And places like Nigeria, Brazil, and South Korea are leading the expansion of Christianity. As a Christ-centered academic institution and as people of faith, these raise certain questions in our mind. What happens when there are more Christians in non-Western nations than in the West? Will the traditions look the same? From a purely statistical point of view, Christianity in the 21st century will be a non-Western religion. By the year 2025, Christians in Latin America will reach 640 million, and in Asia, 460 million. What does this mean for us? Well, certainly as an academic institution, it requires us to carefully evaluate the role of Christian higher education. And I would say for Asbury College specifically, because this is the place to which we've been called. The West appears to be moving away from the hegemon role of the past. So what then must Asbury College do if it expects to contribute to the future of a global community? We must recognize that we live in a world with new faces, hard to pronounce names, and a rainbow of colors. This is our larger global family. The 401 students that Dr. Kalaga mentioned that have come in to begin this fall, we will be adding number 402 to that very soon. We have a student in Kenya who has been trying for months to be able to come to enter the freshman class, and her visa has been delayed and repeatedly delayed, and now in a great answer to prayer, she has been approved, and we're anticipating she will arrive Wednesday of this week. But one example, and there are many others of you that have come here from around the world, you are a part of our larger global community. We live in an academic world. This is what Asbury College has been called to do, but our questions are not merely academic ones. We are not only educators, as you look at your faculty behind you, or we're not only students, but we are Christ followers. We have eternity in our hearts, and we've been given the wonderful privilege of being involved in kingdom work, eternal work. Yet, much of that work involves the here and now. The classes, to which some of you have already attended at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock, and then some of you have 11 o'clock classes. Much of our work involves the here and now and what we do today. But we must connect the here and now with the then and the forever. And so, therefore, we embrace the days ahead, the future that is moving literally toward us. And we choose to look forward. Asbury College chooses to look forward. I choose to look forward because I believe that it is a spiritual mandate. When Jesus commissioned his disciples to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth, The distance between Jerusalem and the ends of the world must have been overwhelming to them. Today, we have modern transportation that has brought the world to our door, technology that has brought conversations from around the world into our homes. Most of the physical barriers have been removed. The possibilities of reaching the world are now a reality, and it sets a wonderful opportunity before all of us. Every person in the world can now be educated. Every person in the world, more importantly, can now hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never before in all of history, in my view, has there been a greater need for Christian education. Much education is taking place, but we value and look to and promote and embrace Christian education. We are entering a post-Christian world, which means there's a reaction against modernity and its reliance on reason to determine truth. Postmodernists say that reason fails because there can be no absolute truth found. Well, we know that there is truth, and we know that truth is found in the person of Jesus Christ. But this should be a wake-up call to us as a Christian academic community. This calls for tough-minded academics and for tough-minded Christianity. I believe that we carry a responsibility to rise up to the intellectual contest for the mind of our culture. The need for worldview thinking and living on the part of Christians is urgent. I read recently in a work by Dr. David Dockery in his Shaping a Christian Worldview, a shocking statistic, but he says that only 5% of colleges and universities have a Christ-centered mission. Well, we are one of those 5%. Only 5% of colleges and universities have a Christ-centered mission. So our resolve at Asbury College to remain Christ-centered has never been stronger. We recognize that there is no room for the weak or the timid of mind. There's no room for the weak or timid of heart and spirit. At Asbury College, you will be taught to examine every aspect of life from the perspective of God's Word in order to be equipped as an effective, victorious, relevant, global Christian. Thank goodness, or should I say thank God? Yes, I should. Thank God for zealous, fearless, unashamed, consecrated individuals. Those at Asbury College who are leading the way. A solid Christian education results in change of behavior, and not just the implementation of a Christian curriculum taught by a Christian teacher. It is wonderful as you begin your academic studies today that you are beginning with Christian educators, Christian scholars, and they have prepared curriculum and reading materials, and they have a plan for you this semester in your academic pursuits that come out of their Christian heart. But it is more than just curriculum. It's more than information. It's more than knowledge. It's even more than a Christian faculty. But you will be challenged to think yourself in a Christian way, to know the truth, and to make Christ the center of your learning, to make Christ the center of your living, and to make Christ the center of your service. And so your curriculum, the information, the faculty, mentor, staff, student development, residence life folks on campus are all here to mentor, to support, to walk alongside you, but you also have a serious responsibility that you take it beyond what you see externally and that it really begins to take root in your heart and in your mind. As a liberal arts institution, we have an integrated worldview. Asbury College is one of the few institutions in the nation that requires a foreign language, and some of you may grumble about that, but we are committed to our world languages. We are one of the few institutions in the nation that requires a world language and also requires a cross-cultural experience. We take seriously our global community, and we take serious the fact that we are to be global Christians and global thinkers. Every discipline must be approached from the foundation of our faith, and you will find that to be true in your classroom. This means seeking life and learning from a Christian vantage point, and we must develop an ever-increasing appetite for learning. I challenge you to walk in the buildings across campus, not just those where your own academic choice of study is housed, but if you are not an art major, walk in the Fine Arts Building and you will hear the wonderful music that's taking place in those halls. You will see art that is happening in that building. Walk into the media communications area. Walk across campus. Walk in the library. It's dangerous for me to walk in the library because I want to read everything I see. There's just something about walking in that place that has the stacks of books, the newspapers, the journals, the articles. And so make yourself available across campus so that you will be developing an increasing appetite, an insatiable appetite for learning. We want to continue to raise the bar on scholarship and on excellence in our academic pursuits. And we encourage growth in those areas that are actually declining in our nation. For example, science and math. Those are fields where the number of graduates is declining and is not even sufficient to meet the needs of our nation. One of the fastest growing imports of our day is not the Toyota automobile or the Swiss chocolate, many of the products that we see across our nation, but one of the fastest growing imports in our nation is scientists and engineers, because we are not producing enough ourselves. And it's interesting that as this importing of information is taking place, that it's not only an importation, it's not only coming into our nation, but there's much outsourcing that is taking place around the world. Those things that used to happen on our land and in our nation are now being done other places. Many of you, no doubt, have spoken to help centers for your technology. You call about software or even hardware questions that you might have, and many of those questions are being answered by persons in India. It is the leading location for help in technology. Tax returns are being prepared in India. It's one of the leading nations now for the preparation of tax returns. As you or your parents or your family, people you know, go to some of the tax preparers across the country or to accountants, they are actually scanning and shipping your data out of the country into India. Tax returns are prepared and are back the next day. They're prepared overnight and are transmitted electronically back to us. Architectural plans and renderings are being done in the Philippines. And so outsourcing is taking place around the world. So we celebrate what this institution will mean for you, for us, for our faculty. The year is before us. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "It is better that I go away." His disciples were a bit distressed by that and confused a bit as he said, "It's better that I go away. But in doing so, I'm going to send a helper to you." And of course, he sent the Holy Spirit. But in doing so, he passed the baton to us for us to be the hands, the feet, the mind, the thinker, and the doer to get things done that he would call us to do. And so he's looking to us. He has passed the responsibility along to us. And you know what? It's a thrilling adventure. I have to tell you that one of the great things in my own journey, in my academic vocational journey, and certainly in my faith journey, one of the greatest adventures and thrills is the unknown, is knowing that just around every path and corner, in that place where I know not what is around the corner or over the hill, that the Lord has something for us. And so look at the unknown, embrace the unknown, embrace this new beginning in this year as a sense of adventure, as an opportunity. Let us attempt great things for God this year. And I would also like to say in closing that I want to remind you that this altar is an open altar. In fact, this open altar is a symbol of Asbury College. In June, this June, we had a reunion weekend for our alumni. It was a wonderful several days. It was our 100th celebration of reunion. We are 118 years old, but just 100 years ago, the reunions began. And so we had a wonderful time with over 1,000 alumni back and their families, celebrating with one another and reconnecting with one another. And so it was a wonderful several days of reunion. But one of the points that was most meaningful to me was the Sunday morning worship service that we had here in Hughes Auditorium. There were people here. One of the oldest alumni was a lady that graduated in 1929. And this February, she will turn 100 years of age. But she was our oldest alumni. And then, of course, we had those that were here that graduated just last May. And so spanning many ages, many decades and generations. But this place was packed. And at the end of that service, many came to this altar to pray. And in speaking with our alumni, there were those that were saying, you know, it was here that I gave my life completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Or another one saying, it was here that I said, here I am, Lord, send me, and answered the call to the mission field. Another said, it was here that I broke free of addiction. It was another said, it was here that I let go of my pain and hurt, and I allowed Christ to replace that pain with his unconditional love. And so I want to encourage you to come to the altar often. I want you to find me here at this altar often. To surrender our life each day, to thank God, to pour out your love upon him. Or it may even be we come to this place to bring our friends or family. Many of us, including myself, am carrying very heavy burdens for extended family members. And so we come to this place. Now, this is not the only altar, of course, in our life. But we should find ourselves at an altar every day before him. But I want you to sense this place as being a very hallowed, sacred place in which the Holy Spirit has met many throughout the decades and generations. This altar is always open. So yes, we do have a new beginning. In my church, and perhaps we've sung here, I can't remember if we have or not, but I know in my church at Centenary, we often sing a hymn that's titled A Hymn of Promise. And it goes like this: in our end is our beginning. And so many of you are leaving high school. You're transferring in, perhaps. Many of you are leaving something that was taking place over the summer, over last year. But this is our beginning. It is a new beginning for us. We have many faculty that are here as a part of our new beginning. So in the end is our beginning, in our time, infinity. In our doubt, there is believing, and in our life, eternity. In our death, a resurrection, at the last, a victory, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. Would you embrace this year as something that's yet been revealed to you, what this semester, this academic year, what your undergraduate academic experience will be at Asbury College, unrevealed until its season, but it's something that God alone can see. Your future, our future, is as bright as the promises of God. So let's stand on the promises of God this year. Have a blessed, blessed new year. Thank you.